Reformed Church.
When you start looking at the reasons why people get afraid, you know, what it really comes down to in the end is that there's something that we're not seeing, right? When a Christian fears, that is, right? And even when the world fears, obviously, they're in fear because they don't see Jesus at all, right? So it really is, and I'll give you the verse real quick. 2 Peter 1:8 says, for if these things, speaking about fruitfulness, right, and virtue and knowledge and all these things, right, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So obviously it is, obviously, like we know, and it's a great reminder for us, fruitfulness, in other words, us not living, but Christ living in and through us in the manifestation of the Spirit, right, comes about, like everything else in our lives, by the knowledge of Christ. And then it says in verse number 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. So there are people that are blind, and then there are Christians who are just short-sighted. And when you get short-sighted, there's a lot of things that cause short-sightedness in our lives, right? Sometimes it is just your little world and things happening there that just don't get you to see the big picture. And it is an awesome thing, because obviously you'll notice that when you spend time with the Lord, he kind of gives you a bigger picture, right? Like, he just expands your mind, like, to see. And when you see him, you're able to see clearly. You see past just right what's right directly in front of you. You know, this is it, actually what started it for me. It just, I forget how I got here, but, you know, I was just spending time with the Lord, and I remembered Mark 5:35, if we can just go there very quickly. Mark 5:35, and this is the man who had a child who was sick, and then in the process of him going to Jesus and asking Jesus to pray for the child, he gets a report that his daughter is dead. Like, you know, so in verse number 35, it says, while he was still speaking, and I think that is, yeah, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So you try to understand what this man is going through. He's coming to Jesus to say, Lord, like, I need your help. And then in the process of that, they tell him, okay, your daughter is dead. So, and then the people add to that man's apparent unbelief already, that we see he was afraid, he had a lot of things going on in his mind. And then people add to it, you know, your daughter's dead, why bother the teacher any further? In other words, kind of stapling the fact in his mind some more that, you know, before maybe you could have been helped, but now that she's dead, you know, there's nothing to do now, right? So that obviously was hurting him, not helping him further. And then in verse number 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken by the men that had come and said, why are you troubling the teacher? Your daughter is dead. So as soon as he heard that they communicated to him, your daughter is dead, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe, right? So it's such an important thing for us, right, to understand, you know, the, and here's really the crux of what I wanted to share with you. We have known as Christians that are saved, right, that we are unable, right? We have huge inabilities in every single area of our lives, right? Which is the exact reason why we accepted the salvation of the Lord, right? We understand that we were unable to, and then God did what we could not do, right? Because of our inability of the flesh, right? He did what we could not do in sending his own son. So whether it be, you know, you hear about people getting promoted at work, and you are, you know, people are treating you weird, and you don't have any work, and people are giving you the cold shoulder, whatever it is, let's say, right? You're afraid of the future, of what's going to happen, or, you know, you get news of someone in your family has died. You know, there's so many things that things that just happen to us, right? It's just such an awesome thing to allow the Lord to open up your eyes so that you can see clearly from the Lord's perspective. In other words, from the mind of Christ, how does life and eternity and immortality and all every good thing that we have in us, how does that apply to what you're seeing, what you're being told, what people are saying to you, just all of this stuff, right? How does it apply to that circumstance? So that, because I'll tell you this, there are so many reactions that we have because of fear. And obviously the reaction that you'll see from your life when your mind is not on the Lord is going to be a reaction that's coming from some sort of fear, right? And look at it this way. You're either going to be in fear because of your inability, and I'm talking about absent of the knowledge of Christ in that area of your life. You're either going to be in fear because of your inability, or you're going to feel comfortable because you feel that you're able. And both of them are wrong, right? To be comfortable because you think you're able to handle whatever it is that's going on, or to be in fear because you see an apparent inability, right? Both things are wrong. I'll share this with you. You know, there's some stuff that we're doing around the house, right? Just some improvements that we're making. Not these huge things, but just stuff that we're doing, like every homeowner does stuff around their house, right? And you're always looking for ways to improve and do things. So even when it comes to that, like you can be in discussion with someone, right? And normally when it's something to go that we're doing in the house, right, we kind of talk it through, and sometimes talking something through takes longer than actually doing the thing, just talking it through. But it's such a cool thing that even in speaking about the things that need to be done, to be able to obviously have wisdom about what you're doing, because there is wisdom that the Lord gives us about what we're doing. And there are things that you will do, and there are things that you'll feel from the Lord, you know what, that's not good for you to do right now. So, which is fine. But the thing is, there's a difference between that and a feeling. And I know it, because as the Lord has been speaking this to me, you know, you recognize little things that you're like, oh, shoot. Like, I didn't realize. Like, you're just talking to me about this now. And I didn't realize that as I was talking about this, some of the reasoning that I had behind what I was saying was actually coming from a feeling of inability. So, in other words, the thing that we have been teaching for years about acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways is the way, right, to live, right? It's the way to live. It's the way for us to have the appropriate reaction to any circumstance that happens in our lives, whether it's death that comes near someone in your family, whether it's something small that you're doing in the home, whether it's something that you're doing at work, whatever it is, to be able to see situations clearly. In other words, to see the situation the way Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, sees that situation. How did he see death? He sees the man, and he sees the unbelief that the man is in, right? Because he could see faith, so obviously he can see unbelief as well. And he hears what he's being told, and the minute that he just directs his attention to the man and says, do not fear, only believe. And in other words, just keep your eyes here. Forget about what they're telling you. Just keep your eyes here. You came to me for help, right? You came to me for help. Keep your eyes here. Don't, in other words, when you pray and you acknowledge the Lord, keep your eyes on him instead of constantly being mindful of what's been said, what you saw, what the situation looked like, what someone's mood was when they said it to you, what their tone was, all of these things, right? The verse actually that I mentioned to you before was in Romans 8:3 really, right, which is our inability. So this is just a little bit of proof of the fact that you don't have to be afraid because of your inability, because that was the reason that Christ came, was because of your inability, right? Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, in other words, because of us, right? God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So if what you see in your life is that what brings you to fear sometimes is inability, that's an awesome place for us to acknowledge the Lord, like every other place is, but we're talking about something very specific. Acknowledge the Lord, right? In the inability that you see and say, you know what, Lord, I know that by myself I cannot be fruitful. But with you, Lord, right, I can do all things, right? Because it is Christ that is living in me, right? It's no longer I, but it's Christ that's living in me. That's how we jump to that, right? How do you jump from your inability and your fear because of your inability in a circumstance, right? And you jump from there to, Lord, I know we are well able to take the land, right? We are well able. I don't see myself. I mean, you see that as an example of inability, right? When the people of Israel saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight, in other words, unable, right? But they weren't looking at the Lord who delivered them out of Egypt, who was well able, right? Joshua and Caleb obviously saw that. Let me give you another quick example, right? And then I'm going to stop here. If we can go to 2 Kings 6. Actually, I was going to share two more verses with you, if that's good with you, and then I'll be done there. 2 Kings 6:15. And this was, you know, when there was an army that was sent after Elisha, right? It says, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, right? So lots to look at, right? Lots for your eyes to be filled with, and lots that could cause worry and concern, and this is the end for me, and all of that stuff, right, that goes through a natural person's mind because of what they're seeing. He says, you know, his servant, Gehazi, I believe is his name, right? He says, alas, my master, and, you know, alas sounds like something out of like Aladdin, right? But alas is just, it's an exclamation because of concern when there is no hope, right? People use that word when there is no hope, and they say, alas, my master, like in other words, they're like, this is the end, this is it, right? What shall we do, he says. So Elisha answered, and it's just you see such a marked difference between the exact same circumstance, just one person that sees and the other person that's blind. Such a huge difference. Same exact scenario, same swords, same chariots, same horses, same threat, same everything, right? But the difference between a person that sees and the person that's blind, he said, he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those are with them. And that just reminded me, right, of the things that, you know, the Lord had been reminding us about just in previous services about how the Lord is with you, right? Like, that, it's such a cool thing to understand, right, that the Spirit of God is with us, that the Lord had to return and be glorified in order to send us his Spirit so that we could always know God is with me, right? And he has united me to him, and I am as he is. Just all of that, right? All of that, just so good, right? Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elijah prayed, and he said in verse number 17, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. That's all he was lacking. He wasn't lacking courage. He wasn't lacking bravery. He wasn't lacking skill in weapons and warfare. He wasn't lacking political dominance. He wasn't lacking any of that stuff. The only thing he was lacking is he couldn't see, right? I mean, people can grab a hold of lots of those other things, of their skill and the size of their army. You know, I don't know this for sure, but I believe, again, this is mostly opinion, that when the Lord continually asked the people of Israel not to count, right? How, in other words, to not have censuses so that they would be able to tell how many were with them, was just, I just think so that it would be, so their reliance and their heart would be on the Lord and not on their numbers, right? Again, that's just opinion, but yeah, I always wonder, like he in so many times did not want them to be counted, right? It was just an interesting thing. But anyway, so it's cool the way Elisha said to him, don't fear, God's with us, right? Don't fear, God is with us. The last thing that I want to just share with you is about something that we've been talking about as around the manifestation of the Spirit in greater works, right? The things that the Lord has said that we are well able to do by the Spirit of God, right? Our greater works, you know, John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, right? Like, what you get out of that is just really simple and clean cut and dry. Nothing that the Lord is saying that we are able to do, the works that we're able to do, have anything to do at all with our ability. It has everything to do with the Spirit of God on the inside of us, right? And who He has made us and who we are, right? We are heavenly people. We are sons of God. And because of that and what we've been given, our inheritance, we're able to do all of these things, even greater works than Jesus did. But that has nothing to do at all with any kind of ability that we can rely on from our past, from our upbringing, from our education, like any of this stuff. So I just want to leave you with this thought. If the very works that Jesus said that we would do as the church, as a people on this earth, have everything to do with Him and absolutely nothing to do with our ability, why would we ever rely on our ability for anything? For anything, whether it be your job, whether it be, in other words, the comfort. Like, if you would see that the comfort that you take from any ability that you feel is your own, for your job, for your family, for being a parent, for being a steward of anything, being in charge of any single thing, like, why would we ever lean wholeheartedly or in part on any ability of our own and almost feel, without boasting, but almost feel comfortable in something? Because you know what that makes me think of? When the Lord is saying to me, you know, greater works than these will you do, and I'm feeling good about such insignificant ability, I understand that all I'm doing is really just shortchanging myself, right? Because I ought to be living here, right? And I'm sticking myself down here, concentrating on such measly ability that amounts to nothing on my own. Better, right? Even whether it be small, big, just all things, acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways, and allowing the Lord to prosper us, right? To say that, you know what? You are a success because I'm with you, right? And allow Him to make us a success in every single area of our lives, and let it be Him working through us. Just the same, with the same mind and the same heart that Jesus had and has now, right? When He said, you know what? It's not me doing it, but it's my Father in me that does the works, right? It's just such a cool thing to be able to get to the same place where Paul was and be able to say that confidently about ourselves, that it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that's living in and through me, and that we labor, you know, as a church, as a Reformed church, and even as individuals in our homes, that we labor more abundantly than most parents do, that we labor more abundantly than most employees do, that we labor more abundantly than any church does and reach more people than anyone does, but it is not us that is doing it, but it's the abundance of the grace of God in us, right? And that's why it's being done, right? And obviously that only comes, which is why we started where we did, right? If you see these things and you're abounding in these things, it's because you're being fruitful in the knowledge of God, right? So it's, you know, a cool thing, obviously, it always goes back to the one thing that the Lord's called us to do. But, you know, that's the direction that we're headed in as a church, right? Not just for this area, but around the world, right? Like, that's a big thing. That's a great thing that the Lord wants to do, is reach the world with this message. But it is such an easy thing to do, though, right? Because it's not us doing it, right? It's God doing it. It's the same thing that He has done before with the 12. You know, He'll do it with 12 here, right? It's the same thing. It's a simple thing for the Lord to do, to be able to just put this gospel and this message in the reach of so many people so that they can just see it in front of them, right? From there on, then, it's their own choice, right? But to consistently put it before people, right? That's what He wants to do, and that's an easy thing to do, but it's cool to be part of it, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.